The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome back to another episode of the TWBC podcast. I'm Tony Lightfoot, glad to have your continued support. I tell you what, the 2025 season about to kick into high gear, as I've said before, Swiss Pro Slalom 2025, and sitting next to me right now is First Officer Nate Smith. So how are you doing, sir?
Yeah, thanks, Tony. It's good to be back at a water ski lake. I mean, my last tournament was the last time you and I spoke down in Miami. So, I missed out on the Moomba tournament this year, but so this is the first tournament to start the season.
All right, there. So, first of all, I want to kind of gauge your reaction a little bit to what just happened out there on the water. I mean, the folks here that I work with on TWBC, Jason, Jeremy, and Vince, and everyone else. I mean, they were just absolutely flabbergasted that you're able to run 10.25 meters or 41 off, not just once but twice into the wind with the tailwind. So, I'd say you're ready.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it is just a practice ride, so there's no nerves or anything like that. But, I haven't gotten to ski a whole lot lately, but my rides have been good when I do ski. So just working on a few things at the gates, getting good starts, and that's why I came here today, just to try and get a ski ride in, because I've only had one this week. So,
any major changes that you've made between the end of last season and this one? I mean, like you have like all the time in the world to make any kind of changes?
Not at all. I'm still riding the same ski that came out of the ski sock, and same equipment as last fall. Maybe just having a little bit more time to ski and having more quality sets rather than, you know, last year for this tournament, I flew in at midnight the night before, showed up and skied.
Yeah.
This year, not so much. Here I am talking to you the day before.
And that's
so
nice.
Yeah, it is a little bit helpful. So I kind of had to put my head down and grind for the last year. But I have a little bit more free time. I'm able to manipulate my schedule a little bit more. You know, I can't take a whole month off at a time, but I can get a couple of days here and there.
Yeah, indeed. There's going to be a whole slew of events in Europe, and we'll touch upon that in a moment to find out what your schedule is going to be from here on in. But I mean, you've had a lot of highs within the sport of tournament water skiing. I mean, you're a six-time champion here at the Swiss Pro Slalom, multiple-time world champion, still the current world record holder, and unless something has drastically happened with someone else, but I'm guessing, try and give me a comparison of what it is to actually have those accolades and the day you got your third stripe and was able to become basically someone who flies for a living.
Yeah, I mean, you always want to kind of have a backup plan a little bit. You never know if you have an injury that keeps you from skiing, or you're unable to travel, or whatever that reason might be, which is kind of what drove me to do this during COVID, to have a backup plan or something to fall onto. So, going through that training center and, you know, becoming a first officer at an airline, it's not easy. You have to put your head down. You have to have that grind and that drive to, be the best that you can every day. And it's kind of similar to water skiing, where like you have to show up and perform. So when you have check rides, or you're in the simulator, or you have knowledge validations and things like that, you have to show up, be cool, calm, collected, and perform. And, you know, I think I have a good ability at doing that in water skiing. And I think that translated over to the flying side as well. And I think that's what helped me out there.
Indeed, indeed. You know, I had the opportunity. I mean, this was several years ago, and I will recall this story verbatim, and between now and the end, really. I mean, I had an opportunity to sit next to you on a flight from Orlando Executive Airport. I mean, I remember it vividly, but I mean, what about that flight to kind of seared that into your memory?
Well, you know, you don't get to take your close friends or people that know you well up in the plane every day. You know, that was my job. That was my office and my workspace. So, you know, to have you and Vince go up with me and fly over water ski lakes and take pictures and enjoy the day in an aircraft at my job, you know, similar to what you're doing. You know, you're here announcing for us. I'm joining you in your office. So to have you guys go join me in my world and my office and, you know, see the things that I do every day, it was just a nice, relaxing, you know, flight. And then obviously to let you have the controls and
relaxing for you maybe, but I was actually shaking. You know, I try to control it and try to not give off too many vibes in that particular direction. But I know you're looking over towards the lake and seeing Ali Nicholson go through her practice run at the same time and checking out what she's doing out there. But I mean, going back to that flight, you know, I mean, I just recall myself being a little bit nervous, but I just had to just calm myself down, you know, for the sake of you and everyone else on that flight.
Yeah, I mean, just like everything, just be calm, relaxed, and, you know, people that come up here and get on the mic and announce with you the first time, or you stick the microphone in their face to do an interview after they've won a tournament, you know, it's the same nerves. We're just talking to the same people. We're hanging out with the same ones, you know. Mm-hmm. So in the plane, it was just us doing what we're doing now, except in an airplane with you at the controls.
indeed. Okay, so we alluded to the schedule this season. You're probably not going to get too much time to be able to do all of the tournaments this season. So obviously here at Swiss Pro, I think you're qualified for the Masters, aren't you?
I am. I'm qualified through being the world record holder. However, I was qualified for winning the California Pro-Am as well.
Yes, of course. I was trying to dig into the tournament archives last year to find out what tournament you qualified with. But you are the world record holder, so until someone takes that away from you, you have a perpetual golden ticket. And
And I kind of like the incentive. They took it away for a couple of years, being the world record holder, and then they brought it back this year. But there's an incentive to it. You have to ski one of the Nautique events around the world. So if I skipped everything for a whole year, I would not be eligible to ski the Masters just because I'm the world record holder. So I would have to travel to California Pro-Am, Botas, winning the Masters, you know, or Moomba, I guess that is.
So it's a double-edged sword. I mean, you have half of a golden ticket, but the other half you still need to ski.
Yeah, it's kind of an incentive to go ski one of their events, you know, at least bring you to a tournament. So, yeah, you can't just hide in your house for a year and then go ski the Masters. So yeah. I do like that part of it.
Okie doke. So, you're at least skiing the Masters. Any other tournaments between now and then that you'll ski at, or are you just going to be in, like, training mode?
Yeah, so I'm here for this tournament this weekend. I was able to move some things around to allow me to be here.
And we appreciate you coming.
Yeah, of course. I got to put my head down and work hard. I think I work all but maybe 4 days between now and Masters. So,
oh wow.
Might be 5 days. Either way, I am off for Masters, and I'm off the couple of days leading up to Masters. And I took vacation for the Masters. Like, I will be there. I'm planning to go to the Masters. And then kind of working my way through, undecided on Lake 38. Likely not, because I would just be coming off of being off the weekend prior for the Masters.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying my hardest. There's three tournaments right in a row. The first start of Europe. We go to Monaco, Morocco, and then Funglis. So those are the three that I'm going to try to go hit, you know, that I'm doing my best to go try to get to. If the schedule works out, if it doesn't work out, I'll go to the others over there. You know, I'm not just going to sit at home and twiddle my thumbs and not go to a tournament. So
tell me you're not going to be tempted to have a look inside, to peer inside the cockpit of a 787 or a 777, for the transatlantic part of that flight.
Well, you know, maybe one day I'll get to be up there on my own. So you never know.
Indeed. So, of the tournaments that you're looking forward to, Monaco, which is going to be, well, not within Monaco, because Monaco is only about one square mile.
Yeah.
But it's in the it's a little ways outside Fréjus, Roquebrune-Serrajon. It's a world championship level site. And I'm guessing you're looking forward to skiing that and sampling some of the other delights of southern France.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only tournament I went to in Europe last year. It just so happened that I was off that weekend. I flew in the night before the tournament, skied it, and came back. But, you know, I appreciate Greg and what he does for the sport. And it's a nice ski lake. You know, it's a man-made ski lake with great conditions. And there's really not a whole lot of excuses for any performances over there. So I look forward to that. And then I've never been to Morocco.
Yes, and that is going to be a... That's gonna be an interesting tournament, because you're no stranger to skiing on a river course like Moomba Masters and what have you. This one is gonna be also a river course, but it's also tidal as well, with about a 4 meter differential between high and low,
I've heard. So it'll be interesting to see, but you know, at the very end of the day, it'll be fun to go somewhere new, ski in a different country, and just enjoy it. You know, I was talking with Vince and just about everything that goes on over there. It sounds like a fun experience. It sounds like it's worth going over, making the effort to be there.
Now, what tournaments did you say you were going to go to after Morocco?
Well, so I would like to do Monaco, Morocco, and then the Fun Gliss, which is in Domartin.
Yeah, in Domartin.
It's the weekend after. So it's kind of three in a row over like a two-week period. So it might be easier for me to do that than stay for a six-week period. Mm-hmm. But you know, if something doesn't work out there and the schedule I get opens me up to go to San Gervasio or Botas, something like that, absolutely I'll be there. But the three in a row is what I'm shooting for, and if I can get more, I'm going to go to more.
Yeah, we certainly wish Ricardo and the good folks there at Botas the best of luck, you know, because I've seen some latest photos. I looked through my feeds and what have you, and it's pretty much a mess right there at the moment, so they're going to struggle. But if anyone can pull it together, Ricardo and his crew should
sure.
be able to do it.
Yeah, I saw those pictures. Just might have been yesterday or this morning. It looks like the water's still pretty high there. I saw their boat dock, the starting dock there. It looked like it was almost up to the roof still. So, hoping the best for them, and hopefully they're able to have a successful tournament.
Indeed, indeed. That kind of takes care of the first half of the season. Now, this is a Worlds year,
mm-hmm.
Right at the tail end of August, Ferragosto, as they say in Italy, which is right in the middle of their nationwide holiday, where everyone takes a break, regardless of what they're doing.
Yeah,
should draw a pretty good crowd over at the national site in Ricetto. So are you aiming to be there for that? Or
I plan to be there. You know, there's certain things that I can guarantee. I can bid and put in for vacation. It's not always guaranteed, but
no.
I likely get the vacation when I put in for it, so that's why I'm trying to save a lot of my days and not burn them at all. So I've been saving them. I've not taken a day off of work yet since I started a year ago. So I'm trying to save them, build them up to possibly use them this summer, and then specifically for Worlds at the end of the year.
Because, I mean, you're going to be flying a lot between the end of the season and all the way through to essentially the start of next season, because you've got Thanksgiving, you've got, Halloween. I don't know if anyone travels much during Halloween, but you've got Christmas and all the other festivals there, and they need pilots.
Yeah, they do. You know, thankfully for us, the flights go with or without people for the most part. So, you know, they become more crowded over the holidays, but, you know, the schedules don't change too much. So we usually always have work. And right now, they're still hiring pilots. I mean, they're bringing in several every week into the hiring and training center right now.
Yeah, it's not only is that the case in the United States. You fly for a Delta affiliate, don't you?
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
But in the United Kingdom, I saw a documentary, and a several part documentary for EasyJet. You know, mm-hmm. they fly A320s, Airbus A320s, A319s, that kind of stuff from various locations across Europe. You know, and that kind of gives a little bit of the hint of the flight training or what have you, been in the simulator, that kind of thing. And I mean, so far as flying is concerned, it's a continuing education, isn't it? You don't just get pigeonholed into like an Embraer 175. You would have the opportunity to maybe step up to something like an A320 mm-hmm. or an A319, right?
Yeah, so, you know, that's what they call a type rating. So when you want to switch to a different aircraft, you have to go through the training for that specific aircraft and get a type rating for that aircraft. You know, the challenge is what airlines have which aircraft. So some, you know, as you mentioned EasyJet, I'm not really sure, but they likely fly an all Airbus fleet.
They do.
Yeah. So typically all their pilots are Airbus type rated on the 320 or 319, 321. They're usually good for all of those. So they're interchangeable on any flight, which makes it nice. Kind of like in the US with Southwest Airlines. It's all Boeing. So yeah, they're all typed on the 737 and they're interchangeable. Yeah.
What would be utopia in that regards? I mean, obviously the A380 is probably the big daddy, as it were. But I mean, a lot of airlines are actually phasing that one out. So is it kind of like a matter of time before you can get your hands behind that that super jumbo, possibly, if you ever wanted to?
Yeah. So to answer your initial question, I would say, you know, the dream. I don't know if it's really worth it, but I really like, because I flew Delta everywhere for all the traveling and skiing and all that, and they kind of changed over from the Boeing to the Airbus, the A350.
Yeah.
And I just think that would be a cool airplane to go fly someday. But I don't know that the international stuff, long-haul stuff, is for me. It's tough schedules, and you're up against the clock in the middle of the night and things like that. But,
yeah.
You know, it's all about getting hours right now. I'm a first officer currently. At 1,000 hours, I'll be eligible to bid to become a captain. The unfortunate part with that is it's more training, more time at the training center, and my schedule.
Same time.
Yeah, and my schedule will get much worse. So I have to try and figure out when the timing's right for that, and that's probably after the end of the ski season. So once you do that and you build 1,000 hours at a regional airline, then you're eligible to apply for Delta, American, United, Southwest, all the major airlines. But until you get 1,000 hours at a regional, you can't even apply to them. So,
okay, before we nerd out too much on aviation, this is a water ski podcast. But, so far as your goals and expectations this season, McCain, we've obviously hinted upon them in the aviation world. What about skiing world?
Well, the goal is always to win, right? Like, that's why we all show up to a tournament. Taking a little page out of Will Asher's book, you know, what I've seen and talked with him over the last couple of years and what he's expressed to many through social media or podcasts or whatever that might be is, you know, he enjoys the process. He enjoys going out, training, doing his thing, and seeing how he performs, you know, individually at a tournament, whether that's win, second, or, you know, runs 41, whatever that might be. So I would say I've transitioned a little bit into that where, you know, it's just like today. I just came off the water. I ran 41 back-to-back, headwind, tailwind. I'm happy as can be. Will that happen tomorrow in the tournament? I don't know. Likely not. But
yeah, some of the folks here were just basically just trying to lift that horse off the ground. I mean, you didn't see it, but I mean, it was there.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the goal, right? Like, I want to go out and ski the best that I can, but also just kind of taking a step back. I spent, you know, almost 15 years just running ragged, skiing every tournament, every round, everywhere, traveling everywhere. So having a job, making money, and kind of being home base a little bit more, just going out and performing and trying to do my best, you know, when I can, enjoying the process of it a little bit, and enjoying water skiing now rather than it feeling like I have to perform or I have to go do this. So there's a little less pressure on myself. I want to go out and ski for me. It's not necessarily going out feeling like I have to do something or prove someone now.
And being able to interact with your competitors as well on any given day. I mean, obviously the interactions back then were a little bit more intense, but now you have the job, now you have the career, now you have the life that very few people will ever dream of. You know, I mean, how does that affect your interactions with competitors who you've spent the last 15 years just trying to just beat? You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it doesn't change a whole lot. I mean, we've all grown a little bit older. You know, the likes of Will Asher or Thomas DeGasperi, you know, I feel like I've always been somewhat close with them. But, you know, they've competed double the amount of time that I've been in the sport, and they're still here at the top of the game. I was at the LCQ yesterday and watched Thomas go out and run three, get in a runoff, and then go beat the other two guys that were in there to qualify for the Masters at 44 years old. So,
with a two-handed gate shot that he just converted from.
Well, I think he did the one-handed gate yesterday. So
he's been two-handed gate shot, but I'll try and confirm that with him the next time I come around. But for someone like him and for someone like you, I mean, like how much of a challenge is it to actually do something like that, a wholesale change, and still be successful?
Well, I've never tried to do a one-handed gate before, but You know, I did ski with him a little bit throughout the winter, especially right before Moomba. He was coming over to ski when I was here. And he was going back and forth and trying to figure it out. And, you know, he looked really good with it. But I think when you've done something for so long, it's hard to process, hey, I'm going to go to Moomba on the Yarra in the middle of Melbourne in front of all these people and change something I've done my whole life. And I think that's the challenging part. Was it better or worse, the two-handed gate? I don't know. He looked pretty good at it, but you always go back to Old Faithful. Whatever you know, you always tend to go back to. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Thanks a lot for taking time out to participate in this podcast. As we get ready to wrap it up, any parting words?
Just ready to ski tomorrow. It's been 6 months, so ready to go out and have fun.
All right, then. And this has been the TWBC podcast episode with Nate Smith, getting ready for the Swiss Pro Slalom 2025. So until the next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.